Chris Landry here with a look at the latest in college football. We're going to tackle the college football early signing period, expecting to move ahead of title games and portal openings. We're going to talk about the early signing period that's been moved up and why that has taken place. Further playoff discussions, maybe expansion to 14, even though we've not even officially got to play the 12 yet. And then, of course, the playoff board approving at the same meeting the 5+7 model for the start of the 12-team format. Heavy on the off-the-field dealings that are aplenty this offseason in college football. A reminder that if you want the more detailed breakdowns of the game of college football, big picture or the minutiae, we've got spring practices taking place around the country starting. We've got you covered on that. Transfer portal going to open up in April. We've got you covered on that. Recruiting already for next year's class. It never stops in college football. And we got you covered at LandryFootball.com. Take advantage of the scouting season offer, the best deal that we've got going. It'll take you through 12 months. If you're an NFL fan, free agency, the draft, all the details and information from the scouting combine, free agency coming up, you name it, we got you covered at LandryFootball.com, as well as the Landry Football Podcast Network. So subscribe, like, and share for free the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, college football's early signing period is now expected to move ahead of the title games and the portal opening. Moving to an even earlier date in December. Discussions have continued to progress towards moving that, which this coming year would be December 4th. It would give athletes a short period of time to sign National Letters of Intent, after the conclusion of their high school seasons, and just before the transfer window for all the undergraduate player openings. No decision has been made yet on the early signing period's duration, but it will last either 3 to 7 days. The portal opens the day after teams are selected for the college football playoff. Not sure which option is going to be chosen. There's a good deal of support for a short window, which doesn't overlap at all with the portal. The biggest reason that we're doing this is to clear up the college football recruiting calendar so the signing period and the transfer portal doesn't overlap. December is a mess, especially with the expansion of the college football playoff coming next year. It just creates more chaos in December. This should help. One other option the group is discussing is the possibility of a summer signing period, either in June or August for college football, which I have championed, but I admit has some own problems of its own. It would begin and end before the athlete's senior season, much like college basketball's early signing period. If that were approved, high school senior athletes would have three opportunities to sign National Letter of Intent, the summer, the early December, and February. There would be no change to the traditional February signing period. I'm starting to believe that we should just have the one day in February, maybe later in February, maybe even early March, to allow for the coaching changes that take place, the assimilation of a staff, and allow the one period. But also allow the opportunity for a player at any point that they want to sign, they can do that. And so leave it, you got in February, that's the signing day, that's your day, but you can do it before if you need to without having the hoopla. It would kind of be like free agency. There's a window, you don't have to sign when free agency opens, although many do, but you've got a window in which to sign. Division I commissioners run the National Letter of Intent program through the CCA, which allows them to control the dates of signing periods in each of the sports. The subcommittee has socialized these concepts with the AFCA and other college leaders over the past few weeks and months, and the group also surveyed coaches, administrators, and conference personnel. The topic's going to receive discussion at the FBS Oversight Committee, and will continue. Prominent coaches and administrators have complained that the month of December has become a major problem, and it has. is because we got the early signing period, which took effect in 2017, far from the only major event taking place. You've got the coaching carousel, the bowl game prep. Now you've got a larger playoff, transfer portal. All of that's running, and it just doesn't make sense. Again, in this fall, there will also be the college football games played in mid-December, with the CFP expanding from 4 to 12. First-round games will be played on campuses the weekend of December 21st, which will leave teams preparing for meaningful games while navigating the transfer portal window and coaching changes. And while that will unavoidably be a lot to juggle, alleviating the pressure by removing the early signing period from mid-December to early December at least would help. Well, the college football playoff officials have discussed further expansion for the 26th season onward. They are looking at growing the field for 14, and I think eventually to 16, but the reason for the, you might say, why 14 and not 16, it would eliminate a bye and eliminate maybe some value to having a great season and you don't even get a bye. I think that's the reasoning for that. They've also talked about the possibility of adding more automatic qualifier spots, all while acknowledging they've got about a month to get it done. The detailed conversation on changes were anticipated within the group as the CFP faces pressure and a time crunch to finalize its new TV deal. The CFP management committee is made up of the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director. Members expected the Big Ten and the SEC to place significant specific ideas on the table. The 12-team model for 24 and 25 are set. The Board of Managers, which is made up of university presidents, approved a move from 6+6 to a 5.7 model. That's in the next topic I want to discuss. In light of the Pac-12's collapse, five conference champions will get automatic bids for the next 2 years, while four earning first-round buys. Seven teams will take up the at-large spot. Now the conversation, though, and is the topic here, is fully shifted to 26 and onward, where there's no contract in place and decisions don't need unanimity. The management committee met for more than 8 hours last week, including 2 hours with just the Power Five conferences and Notre Dame, new incoming athletic director Pete Bavacqua. A 14-team model would presumably have two first-round buys rather than four, and a 16-team model would have no buys. Both would provide more spots for the now Power Four conferences, which have ballooned in size, and more specifically the Big Ten and the SEC, which have far more CFP appearances between them with their new memberships than other conferences. While commissioners did acknowledge the size of potential further expansion, they would not get into details on the possibility of adding more automatic qualifying spots, potentially for the Big Ten and the SEC. It was something other conferences expected the pair to push for, and it was at least the topic this past week. After a month of refusing to give a deadline, it looks like they are making this more and more of a deadline, saying that mid-March, yes, this mid-March, is kind of a deadline. Look, the idea of more first-round games has not been negotiated in the current agreed-upon terms with the new ESPN deal, or the deal that is believed to be taking place. While ESPN would be open to talking about them, the $1.3 billion annual agreed-upon average is the budget ESPN had set, and there is no guarantee that more games would mean significantly more money or any more money at all. It took almost 4 years for the CFP expansion to go from the creation of a subcommittee to a fully set reality. Now the commissioners, several of whom were not in place when the 12-team model were proposed in the summer of 21, are discussing changing it again before it even started, and they don't have much time to nail it down. It is a process in college that's always taken time, but deadlines create movement. And money is the reason for this. And the realization that getting more teams may create more money down the road is where we're headed. I think 16 is probably as far as we're going to go, but I think how you decide it is key. I can tell you that there's more and more belief that the Big Ten and the SEC, perhaps if they were interested in expanding more, could create an AFC-NFC type model in college football where those two teams, champions, would play for a college football Super Bowl, if you will. But the reality is you've got more teams in college football. You still have the possibility of a team outside of those two leagues, as big as they've grown, that could be, it could warrant being in. And while no one really believes that a group of five team has any chance of advancing deep into a playoff system, access is the key. And here's the other thing. Denying access to a group of five is opening yourself up to litigation if you're one of the other big conferences. So if there is an agreement between the big conferences, you might say, well, to hell with those other schools that are not as big. Well, you better be concerned because, again, you're opening yourself up to litigation. And that is the biggest issue going forward. Now, the final stage is to reiterate the approved model to the 5+7 for the start of the 12-team format. I wanted to spend a little time on that before we call it a day. The Board of Managers voted unanimously to revise the format of the 12-team playoff to include the five highest-ranked conference champions and seven at-large bids, finalizing an adjustment from the original 6+6 model. Six highest-ranked conference champions and six at-large bids. So you're going to have more at-large teams and less of a conference champion because the Pac-12 is no longer the worthy of having a guaranteed spot. The board has made up 11 chancellors and presidents from each FBS conference plus Notre Dame, and they finalized that deal. Now, it's all in tune with the dismantling of the Pac-12 in the latest round of conference realignment. Washington State President Kurt Schultz, the Pac-12 representative on the board, has been the lone holdout on the change during the board's most recent meetings. Now he voted for the remaining Pac-12 members to receive the same revenue and voting powers as their peers in power conferences. It didn't receive much support at all. For now, Washington State and Oregon State have retained their seat on both the CFP governing boards and will receive Power 5 level payouts this year and next. But going forward, I think that's clearly in jeopardy, meaning both schools are going to be relegated to more G5 status than P5 status. Both sources say, you know, in the meeting say that they expect the meeting of commissioners to agree going forward that maybe you're going to see the Big Ten and the SEC impose their will a little bit. It maybe embrace the Big 12 and the ACC, but you could see that the Big Ten and the SEC push for revenue shares larger than those given to the Big 12 and the ACC. That could create further separation between the two groups, and that would create some real interesting dynamics. The original 6+6 model was first introduced nearly 3 years ago. But as you know, so much has changed with conference realignment. And the playoff model was based on conference realignment that's no longer in place. So in the 12-team format, beginning with the 24 season, let's focus on that. The four highest ranked conference champions receive a first round bye, with the number 5 seed playing number 12, 6 playing 11, 7 playing 10, and number 8 playing 9. The 5-8 seeds will host first-round games at their respective schools and the New Year's 6 bowl games. The Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl will host quarterfinals and semifinals on a rotation. No specific conferences are guaranteed a berth, and there is no limit to the number of at-large bids a conference can earn in November. It was determined that Oregon State, Washington State, which will continue to play under the Pac-12 banner and reached a scheduling agreement with the Mountain West to help fill out its slates for the next 2 years, will not be eligible for five automatic qualifying spots. So they're going to have to get in at the at-large spot. And that's the same thing applies to Notre Dame. And the previous administration, Jack Schwarber at Notre Dame, was fine with not getting a bye and basically exchanging that for what's likely going to be a home game, if they play well enough, a home game at Notre Dame in the first round. So the initial agreements is ESPN has agreed to terms with representatives of the college football playoffs on a 6-year, $7.8 billion extension to televise the events through 2031 to 2032. But CFP leaders still need to vote on the deal for it to take effect. So we shall see. A reminder again, if you want more details on the college game, the pro game, we got you covered at LandryFootball.com. Check it out today. Take advantage of our scouting season offer, which is a 12-month year package. And remember to subscribe, like, and share to the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.